Just want to introduce, I'll get you guys to stand, but this Cobus Trinnell. So Cobus is our pilot, Trinnell is beautiful wife, and then we have only son Isaac, and Jana and Kalian. So great to have you guys with us, and thank you for what you do. There are thousands and thousands of flights all around the world. I don't want to steal any of Cobus's talk and that, but these guys do just an absolutely phenomenal job that we have no idea, because it's kind of a little bit out of sight, out of mind, but I'm sure it will be a lot more in sight and in mind after Cobus has come and spoken. So Cobus, how about you come on up, and how about we give Cobus a huge big clap? I'll just grab your lectern.
Thank you very much. What an awesome, awesome privilege to be here today. And it's so awesome that you've already given us part of the message. It is so awesome to see God at work. You know, when you get to a congregation or the privilege of actually speaking at a congregation, I normally try and ask God what it is that God actually wants to say. Because after all, it's him that wants to speak and not me. And today's message will, I believe, go in splendidly with what we've just been given. And I first think, let's just pray and ask God's blessing on his word. Lord, thank you very much for the privilege of being here. Lord, Wellington is such an awesome place. There's so much happening here, Lord. There's so much happening in our lives. But I ask you now, Lord, to refocus us and to bring us into this space with you, Lord, so that we can hear what you've got to say. Thank you, Lord, that we don't need to take notes for someone else, Lord. Lord, you've purposed us each to be here today. And this, Lord, this word is for me, and it's for each and every one of us being here. Please, Lord, let it hit the target square on, Lord. Let us take it in and really prayerfully consider what it actually means to us. And what you want to say to us, and what do you want to change in us? Lord, far from rejecting us, Lord, as already said this morning, you are there actually with outstretched arms, wanting to embrace us, wanting to walk with us, wanting to make us part of your plan, Lord. And we ask you to show us, Lord, show us what you've got in store for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So today I want to start with a word out of John 21. And we want to read from verse 1. And I like the heading. The heading says, "Breakfast by the Sea." Awesome. It says, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, 'I am going fishing.' They said to him, 'We are going with you also.' They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, 'Children, have you any food?' They answered him, 'No.' And he said to them, 'Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some.' So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.' Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. And this is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. What an awesome scripture. We find ourselves here at this point in the scriptures where Jesus has been crucified, he's risen, Jesus has shown himself to the disciples before, but now the disciples were left to themselves, as it were, and they decided to go fishing. Peter decided first, and the rest followed. It was a natural thing for them to do. It was the way that they normally provided for themselves. They knew fishing, but it provided nothing for them this night. They probably did whatever they knew how to do, but it yielded no fruit. There was nothing for them. But at daybreak, the time for fishing was traditionally gone. You can read it in Luke 5. The people at that time used to fish during the night and close to shore as well. But their hope of a catch was fading, or was maybe even lost by this stage, because day was breaking. The season, the time was gone. But Jesus said to him, and I want to pause here. He said to them, he didn't shout because he was close by. It was quiet, it was morning. And that's also an allusion to the best time to sometimes hear God. I know all of us have our own schedules and everything, but sometimes when it's real quiet, it's real easy to hear if God says something. But in any case, Jesus didn't shout, but they didn't recognize him at first. Jesus gives them an instruction, and they decide to follow it. They might have thought of all things, you know, they might have thought maybe he had seen, you know, some sign that there were fish, you know, from the side, which they might have missed. And we can think of all these reasons, but whatever the reason, they actually followed the advice that the guy from the land gave. And this also shows a bit of humbleness. You know, they were good fishermen. They knew their stuff. You know, they could have easily have said, "Nah, we won't do this," you know. But actually, they decided to follow it, which is a great trait for any Christian, to have a bit of humbleness and to follow where God leads them. The second thing about this thing is this is the second great catch. In Luke 5, you'll read about the first great catch. That was where the disciples were actually being called, just prior to them being called. They actually also had a great catch there. And the previous time, the boat was actually sinking. And I had to read it a couple of times, you know, to actually take it in. That it doesn't say that the boat was about to sink. It says actually the boat was sinking. And the previous time, the net was breaking, but now the boat was not sinking and the net was not breaking. It's interesting, they spent a bit of time with Jesus in between, and I just wonder if that had something to do with the outcomes that were slightly different. They could not even get it into the boat. The catch was so great. They had to just drag it to shore. And the first one who recognized that this was Jesus, this was none other than Jesus, was the one who actually spent time with Jesus, who actually loved Jesus, who actually wanted that intimate relationship with God. So Peter, being who Peter was, he's overboard. He's just denied Christ three times. And just after this, Christ will have a conversation where he asks him if he loves him three times. Because God is in the restoration business, as we heard just now. God wants that relationship. God's wanting to restore us. And when they arrive on shore, Jesus has already got a fire going. There are already coals. There's already fish on this fire. And there's bread to be had. And Jesus asked them to add to this some of their catch. It's so awesome to see Jesus actually showing that, yes, God can provide. But also God wants to partake us to partake in the joy of providing. God wants to show us how to do this thing, how to be a partner with him and be involved in what God does. There are lots of commentaries on these pieces, and it's always interesting to me that sometimes some of these scriptures are so well known that you miss stuff. You know, you miss stuff. There's lots of depth in a lot of these things. Jesus didn't do stuff just willy-nilly. A lot of his stuff is very, very well thought out and very well put just to have just the right effect. And sometimes there's multiple meanings. And a lot of the people are debating on lots of the aspects of the story. And some of them are even saying that, you know, Jesus having some fish on the coals, that's sort of loosely related to maybe Israel that's already exposed to God. And then the Gentiles are being brought in, you know, in the net. And that's adding to the catch. But whatever it is, God wants to involve us in his story. God wants us to be involved, and he wants us to actually partake. And yes, he can provide, and he does so abundantly. But sometimes he wants us to be part of that. So today we're here to actually speak to you about MAF and our journey with MAF. And I think it's probably a good departure point for us to just tell you a bit of our family. I think if Trunel, if you can put that PowerPoint on, brilliant. So my wife, Trunel, she was born in a place called Bloemfontein in South Africa. That is South Africa Central. And she was qualified as a missionary teacher and then also as a cardiac physiologist. And as a missionary teacher, you actually went to Malawi, Zimbabwe, and Zambia, yeah. And then as a cardiac physiologist, she worked in Cape Town and Hamilton in New Zealand. Myself, I grew up in a place called Stellenbosch, which is close to Cape Town. Very picturesque wine country, lovely place to grow up in. And I qualified myself as a telecommunications technician. And we owned a business, myself and three business partners. We owned a business that actually did large-scale countrywide deployments of technology in Africa. So I managed teams in lots and lots and lots of different places. Like I stayed a long time in Cameroon, and I went to Madagascar. No penguins seen there. I went to Madagascar like 7-8 times, and I stayed in Uganda also for a long time, and all these weird and wonderful places. And we actually specialized in fiber optic networks, cellular networks, fixed line networks, but countrywide networks, big networks, running teams in these places. And I often thought to ask God, and I actually did ask God a number of times, like, why am I here? I had come to know Christ by that time as my Lord and Savior, loved it, and here I was stuck in Africa. I was going all these places and seeing lots of interaction where we're trying to implement first world technology in a third world setting. That is what we're basically doing. And I used to run many teams in these places of our own teams and then also other contractors to actually stabilize these networks and fault find in difficult situations. During this time also, I obtained my private pilot's license, which I'm really stoked about. That was an achievement that I always wanted to have from school time. And it's something that's very handy to a Mission Aviation Fellowship. And I must just say to you that I will not be serving as a pilot with MAF. I'll be serving in a different capacity. But even for that capacity, we need some aviation background, and it comes in really, really handy. So in 2004, we got married, and our first child was soon there, and he was no trouble at all. He was quite sweet, actually. But soon, he was followed by some others that were more problematic. So the three kids followed soon. And we loved having the children. We loved family life in South Africa. South Africa has got large families normally. And it was sad to say goodbye. But in 2016, things started to change for us quite dramatically. And God opened the door to come to New Zealand, which is great stuff. I mean, we loved New Zealand. We really loved everything about New Zealand. We loved camping, hiking, coffee, everything. The kids did really well in school here. They did well in, with sports, well with academics. And even our family, our extended family, actually loved New Zealand. They came to visit, and we had an old 1950s house in Hamilton, and we renovated it. It's brilliant. In New Zealand, you can build stuff with wood. It's awesome. Love it. And yes, we had all of this going on. I was involved in setting up a new retail store in Hamilton, and then I became involved again with security. I installed my first alarm when I was 13 years old. South Africa being South Africa, that was very much called for. But I always had a liking in security, and in Hamilton then I qualified to be involved in access control, the Gallagher equipment and stuff like that, and also spent a bit of time on large-scale CCTV and stuff like that in big buildings and big corporate settings where we actually did some fit-outs for the DHB and stuff like that. And then after that, we also owned a small appliance repair service in Hamilton. So we're very much like in business all the time. So that was quite interesting. This was us, and this is the Van der Merwe family being in Hamilton. And in 2021, all of a sudden, we started realizing, hang on, something's changing. This time it was maybe not that welcome. We were in New Zealand, we loved it, and yet we had this thing where we knew that we knew that we knew that God was saying something's changing here. And it wasn't all that clear on what is happening. We spent much time in prayer, much time in discussion amongst each other, myself and Trinell. And yet we failed to arrive at a conclusion. At the end, I even got our pastor involved, and we had a bit of a chat. And that evening, he could give me two words that God just spoke to him. And I knew these words were actually, like, deep inside, it was actually striking something. There was some rapport there, and I knew that these words were from God. And the first thing that he said to me is, God's putting circumstances around the Van der Merwe family in Hamilton, New Zealand, that will enable us to actually reach decisions that we would never else have been able to make. Brilliant. Got it. Took some notes. And then he said, he can also see that from what God's indicating, I'm not currently in my sweet spot.
Yep.
Noted. And thus, that was the end of it. Now we still didn't know exactly what. There wasn't a date. There wasn't a number to call. There wasn't a name. There was nothing. And about two and a half months passed. And myself and Trinelle sat in church one Sunday morning, and we were early. Now that is a clear indication for the Van der Merwe family that something's about to go really supernatural. You see, in that time, I had this very annoying scripture coming up. It was something that I would like to jot down and give to someone. I would like to have a name with a scripture and say it's for John or it's for Jill or it's for someone else. But the scripture was coming to me. It was very annoying. It was Matthew 16 verse 26, and it says, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" Surely that could not be for me. Surely not. But it kept repeating. And when God repeats a scripture, pay attention. Something might be afoot. And this morning, we were sitting in church, and all of a sudden, it was we used to meet in a school hall. So we used to get the chairs out and get the sound desk organized. But all of these things were already in place this morning. And they had some niggly problem with the sound desk or something. So they were deeply involved in that. And I couldn't converse with anybody there. And myself and Trinelle sat there alone. And we suddenly found ourselves with this bit of time. And I said to Trinelle, you know, it's wonderful. It's wonderful to have these words from God that we know. We know that we know that we know that God's saying something to us. But we haven't gone somewhere with this. This is just there. And I asked her, where does she see me? And she says, you know what? You're a practical type of guy. You like to help. I think you'll do really well in a mission organization, you know, helping out at a base somewhere. And that morning, it just also struck something. It's just struck a chord. And I knew that God was saying something. I said, yep, I can get behind it. And Trinelle was actually quite surprised. I'm the business guy, you know. I've owned like 5 businesses and whatever. And this was not part of Kobus van der Merwe. But that morning I knew that God was saying something. And then she added with it that she was actually thinking of an aircraft hangar. She doesn't know why. And that was something she couldn't have known. Because unknown to her, 20 years earlier, I had been to Mission Aviation Fellowship in Johannesburg, South Africa, traveled all the way from Cape Town, flew up, went to see them, and within about 15 minutes, I knew God was not opening a door there. It was closed. The door was closed. But I had this thing in me 20 years ago that there was something. You know, Mission Aviation Fellowship, I don't know where I heard of them, but I just knew there was something here. And I went all out, but it wasn't to be. It wasn't at that season. But here it was again, and it sounded an awful lot like Mission Aviation Fellowship. So I took my phone right there in church, and I want to warn you, if you want to use technology in church while church is going, watch out. God might be sending you someplace. So that's just a footnote for those who want to indulge in that. But in any case, and we found a role that basically had Kobus van der Merwe apply here, written all over it. And I think that afternoon, I think we sent off the first communication, and soon the phone started ringing, and God was just opening the doors. So we immediately saw how the experience that I had built over all those years in third world countries, doing first world things in third world countries, the aviation background, all of these things were playing together, coming together, and God was actually going to use it in quite a remarkable way. So let's tell you a bit about MAF. I think, Trinelle, if you can key in that video, that'll be a good one, and we can give you some background. how cool is that? So yes, I was quite interested in Mission Aviation Fellowship to find out that Mission Aviation Fellowship was actually a vision that was born in two Kiwi blokes that came back from World War II. They were involved in the bomber as bomber crews, and they were flying missions over Europe, dropping bombs over all these beautiful European cities. And they were thinking in their heart of hearts, what if we could actually use aircraft instead of destroying humanity, to actually bring the gospel to the lost? And this vision was born after the war. They couldn't actually take the vision quite far in New Zealand initially, and they took it to America. And to this day, America still thinks that they started MAF. But we'll leave that. But in any case, so I am going to be serving with Mission Aviation Fellowship as Corporate Services Manager in Papua New Guinea. Papua New Guinea, do you guys know where Papua New Guinea is? Just north of Australia. And it's a very interesting country. There's about 1,000 different people groups, give or take. And they speak round about 830 different languages, which makes for a huge barrier for the gospel to actually reach the lost. The terrain is terrible. It's very mountainous, very hilly. It's very difficult and very expensive to build road infrastructure. And we find that we can do a 4-minute flight sometimes, sometimes a 9-minute flight, and save 2 days worth of walking for people. Mission Aviation Fellowship currently has about 130 different aircraft serving in about 30 countries. You can maybe put up that slide, Trunel, about the countries. Some of the countries are really well known. As you can see, Papua New Guinea is there, Papua is there, even in Lesotho in South Africa, Brazil, and all these places. And then some are not known and will not appear on a map because these are closed countries, countries where the gospel is not supposed to go. But that doesn't stop Mission Aviation Fellowship. We normally would go in under a different name, and we would just be serving the missionaries there to actually get the gospel to those needing it most. Okay, so Mission Aviation Fellowship will take in missionaries. That is what our mission is. Actually, we will take in missionaries and bring them out, sustain them in these settings so that they can actually be there long enough for the gospel to matter to people. Okay? That is one of the things. We will take in food. We will take in doctors. We will take out critically ill patients and go and get them to a hospital where they can get real good care really quickly. And we will do evacuations and support in times of natural disaster as well. But most of all, we will take in the gospel. That is what we want to do. We want to share the gospel. But for people to actually accept the gospel, sometimes you need a whole lot of serving. And that is what MAF is actually real good at doing. I want to show you a video now of a place called Mokondoma. It's just across the border from Papua New Guinea. Papua New Guinea is half of that island. And then there's a bit that's actually a province of Indonesia. So just across the border in Papua. These missionaries were actually living there for a number of years. And I want you to see how many years, if you can hear, how many years they have already spent there. Because a lot of the time, what happens in these settings is you'll have missionaries that identify a people group. They will walk into the jungle to that people group and go and live amongst them. Then they will try to hear their language and try to point to stuff and start jotting down what they believe this language looks like in written form. This, when they've got enough of this, they will then take it to Wycliffe Bible translators, and Wycliffe will get us a New Testament or even a Bible written in their language And that will be returned to that tribe. In the meantime, they will endeavor to actually get an airstrip sorted out for this community. And with the help of MAF, a school can be built. It can also be used as a church. And guess what? Now they can be taught in their own tongue to read and write. And they'll also be taught some other language to actually allow them to speak to others. Because these languages are so different that they can often not speak to other tribes. So isolation is rife. So let's see if you can see a bit about Mokondoma. The other thing that I want you to notice is what the locals actually got from the gospel and what they were going to do with it, because that is key in what MAF wants to achieve.
Hi, we are Tim and Rebecca Ingles. We serve here in Papua, Indonesia with New Tribes Mission.
My name is Mike Wild, and I work among the Wano people. These are all my friends in the Wano tribe, and we're right now up in the hamlet of Mokondoma.
All right, today is one of those great days. We get to go in and open a brand new airstrip. They've been working on this strip for a couple years. The name of the place is Mokondoma, so we're looking forward to going in, making a first landing, and serving the New Tribes missionaries there, the Ingles and the Wild. So this is one of those awesome days for MAF.
Yeah, we've been working here with the Wano people for about 9 years now, and our goal here is to plant a church that can reach out and reach the rest of the Wano people. The people that actually at this site where we're at now had thought about building an airstrip and had started work maybe 10, 15 years ago, but had given up on that, and so we got that going, and over the past 2 years the people have worked on this airstrip. We didn't do a lot of the work. It was the tribal people working with us, and we helped them a little bit with food to be able to work, but it was all our project here, and we worked together on it. 2 years of work to get this thing done, and to see the plane circling by the first time, it's just surreal. It's just like, it's happening, and he comes in and lands, and you just feel the emotions, you know? It's so cool to have an airplane land, touch the ground.
Main motivation for building this airstrip was so we'd have a way to take the gospel out from our area here, and we could take our teachers and our translated materials and take it out and do outreach.
Bogum ye kechak yo ye kechak na me an gwen no na wene no git kupiga diga
ye kwere kok
kupik bok na me puga gin di ne an ne no kok me git no yok be den kachak se pulu kum an me ni wat kenira meni na bogum di no ra meni da tu ye chut ba ne meni an ne no ko na ko do kik ni wene gwe bogum di no ra ye churat ye chut ba ne wenena pana yot ne ara kan yop mini bane pangongotik ne me boko yum di nyam ampire kera nit ne di buka gin ne bogum di wigania ko yak mono e kerak ne me mini nit yongwa ni corak bane mini an no babi apik yok ki carak ne me.
Yes, so what a brilliant result there. And they've already made good on their promise, good on their undertaking, and they have taken the gospel to other tribes in the area. So now we are preparing. We are preparing as a family to go, and we have to commit to MAF for a period of 4 years. We are trusting God to actually let others join us on this journey. And yes, you can definitely come with. There are definitely some spots. We're looking always for IT people. We're looking for pilots. We're looking for managers. There are, I'm sure, you know, with 30 countries out there, somewhere we'll find something for you. So if God's stirring something, come and talk to us. You can definitely come with us. But we also need people to partner with us. As you know, the enemy is not real happy to see people going into these places and going to assist to get the gospel to places where it else could not have gone. Okay. And we need people to actually partner with us in prayer. There are actually three ways that you can actually partner with us. You can fill in a contact card there at the back with Isaac afterwards. And then you can decide what do you want your involvement to look like. You can pray for us. That's awesome. We really, really need the prayer. You can also sign up. We send out 4 newsletters a year, just quarterly. So we will not spam your inbox. So you're welcome to sign up for those and to see how God actually works in our lives and work out this purpose that He's birthed in us. Okay, so that's quite good. I think it will be good for you as a Christian also to see how God actually navigates this type of path. And then also you can support us financially. All the MAF staff that go overseas from New Zealand have to gain their own support, okay? And they have to reach a target to be able to deploy. And we invite you to partner with us. We invite you to actually see what God's got for you in this relationship. Use MAF as a vehicle to actually see what God does practically. And activate your faith to see how does He actually embroider this art, so to speak, in our lives over the next number of years. So if you want any further information, speak to us after. But I want to just ask you, Whatever you find from this presentation, even if you maybe think maybe mission aviation isn't your thing or whatever, go to God and see. He wants you, just as we saw in that scripture today. God actually wants relationship with you. He actually wants you to be a part of what He's doing. He wants you to be excited about what He does. He wants you to be a part of it. And He wants to be close to you. And He wants to inspire you. And He wants to talk to you. And He wants to instruct you and teach you lessons. Please, whatever you do, walk this path with God. Spend some time in your quiet place and ask God, what is it that He wants you to take from this? And ask God, what is the road that He wants to take you on? Maybe it's just a phone call to someone that's ill. Maybe it's that lady behind the till at Countdown that just needs that word of encouragement. But that'll happen when you actually spend the time in your closet, close with God, hearing His voice and listening out for what He's got for you. Let us quickly pray in closing. Lord, thank You very much for the chance of actually speaking here. Lord, thank You very much for being able to come here and witness of what You have actually been doing in our lives, Lord. And to invite these people on a journey with You, a deeper journey. Lord, please take them and speak to them, each and every one, individually, Lord, and show them the things that You've got for them, the things that You want to be involved in with their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. That was fantastic. Wasn't that great? How about we give them a big clap? Thank you so much. That was absolutely incredible. Someone said to me a while back, why have you got them coming to speak? I think as believers, we need to know what's happening in our world. And we need to know, we haven't really had that much to do with MAF. But it's good to know what's going on. And that may stir something up in some of you. You may just feel something spring up and say, I want to become a prayer partner. I want to assist financially. I may become a pilot. Who knows? Who knows? As Cobus said, he went, God shut the door, but there was a mark. There was something there. Maybe God's today has scribbled a little mark on your heart that you know is something for the future. This is a good lesson on how God works sometimes in a whole bunch of different areas. So just be aware of that. Tuck that away. So the band are going to take us out. Our wonderful MEF people are going to be at the back. There's a desk that all the lights will come on. The cafe is open. You can talk to them afterwards, talk to each other. Don't forget, we have our own mission. It's to our neighbours, it's to our workmates, to our schools, and people that we interact with starting today, starting tomorrow. Have a great week. Take God out, eh? Mallory, are you there? Come on up. Cobus and Trinil and family, how about you come on up and we'll pray for you guys? No, you want to be prayed for, you've got to come up here. No, I'm joking. Come down here. Come over here. How about Mallory here has been a missionary overseas in Africa for a bunch of years. So how about you pray for them? Yeah. Sound good?
Yeah. Great. Yeah. God, we just lift up this family, God. I just felt a heavy burden in my heart, Lord, that they would just be prayed out by our church today, God, and that we would just keep them in our hearts, Father, and that we would just lift them up in our prayers, God. Father, I just thank you so much for the way that you love them, Lord, and that them just walking forward in this is your perfect way to love them, God, and I pray that they would just feel that, Father. And God, I just pray that their hearts and their souls would just trust in you, God. Your word says that those who trust in you, they lack no good thing, Father. And I just pray that they would trust in your timing, God. As they get antsy to get there, Father, I pray that their trust grows. As they're looking for the money to get there, God, I pray that their trust grows, God. As they have worries about their family, God, I pray that their trust grows, God. And that just every little worry and every little fear would just be silenced in the name of Jesus, God. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would just come on them, God, and that you would give them a greater peace and a greater comfort, Lord, as they walk forward than that they had ever known, God. And we just bless them, God. We ask that you would just anoint them, Father, that they would just walk forward knowing that you're not just for them, God, but you're with them, and that they can look to you and they can say the same thing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. That's great. Hey, one very last thing, and then I'll sit down and shut up. How many here, I won't, but a whole bunch of you I saw yesterday came and assisted with Winter Vibes, and it was absolutely fantastic. I know some people were here first thing, and people like Joe didn't leave till about midnight last night. So a huge big thank you to all of you who helped. It was a great event. I think Caleb's probably grabbing some sleep, trying to catch up maybe. But yeah, if you get alongside them, ask them how it went, and they're already talking about next year. So catch you in the cafe.